We're back again on this November 2015 edition of the Mike Moore Show on Dakota Country 1210.
KOKK.
Performance Radio News Director Zach Nelson, along with Beadle County State's Attorney Mike Moore, for our monthly look at the world of the law. And as we were talking about in the first segment of the program, kind of across the board again here, like we do monthly here on the program, talk a little bit about a mental health exam task force that Governor Dennis Dugard says he is supporting. We'll talk about that a little bit. A tie-in between truancy and terrorists. And to start off here, this segment, we're going to talk a little bit about the drug court. And again, we touched on it in the first segment, Mike, recently here 2 weeks ago or last week. The first gentleman failed the drug court or did not complete the drug court. Let's go back and get a baseline here as we begin this conversation with what the drug court is and how you get in it.
Right. As we talked about before, the drug court is for a person that has multiple prior drug convictions, that's addicted, has addiction issues, that have, we've tried other things, punishment, but they have multiple dealings with drug related issues. And if they were sentenced just straight out without drug court, they would likely go to the penitentiary. Those are the people that we're looking for, that we can make a change in their life. If we identify a person that meets that criteria, they go undergo an evaluation for their drug abuse, and then they become candidates for the drug court, and then they get referred into the drug court by the drug court group. And then ultimately, it's up to the judge to sentence them to the drug court. And if they do that, then they're in drug court. And they, in drug court, it's going to take them about 2 years at least to go through the drug court and successfully complete it. We just started it in July, so we're, you know, 5 months in now. And it's going pretty well, but we did have our first failure this last month.
And I think that it should be important to note that you currently, at the present time, do you have four, or was there four before the individual was
There were
kicked
four
out?
Before the individual was failed out, and they're trying to start out slow, so I think they're going to try to keep it at that four or five number. I think there will be other individuals that we recognize that are eligible for it here in the next month or so to get that number back up to four or five. But there was four at the time this happened.
Are you getting a lot of requests for enrollment as certain individuals who meet these criteria are coming before the court? Are the defense lawyers petitioning for placement in the drug court? But again, they can't be placed because you're limiting the numbers right now.
I wouldn't say we get a lot of requests, but we have gotten a couple requests where they weren't able to be a candidate because we were full. We had four, and that's all they wanted to do initially. I think gradually that's going to increase to about 15 individuals. But right now, and probably for the next 6 months or so, it's going to be four or five people. So there have been people that have been identified as possible candidates, but we didn't have any slots available, so that wouldn't have been an option for them.
And I don't want this conversation about the first person to fail out to be misconstrued as, you know, the program is a failure. The program is new, and this is one individual out of four who didn't do what they were supposed to do.
Right, yeah, and this shouldn't be considered that the program is a failure. This one individual wasn't able to complete. You know, when you're going through the drug court program, the demands on you are heavy. You have to be employed. You get random testing. Are you able to separate yourself from some individuals in the community that are probably using drugs that haven't been caught, that were your friends when you were using? Can you separate yourself from them? So they have a lot of obstacles they have to overcome. They have to find a place to live, pay their rent, pay their bills. I mean, this is a life involvement. I mean, we're involved in their life. They got to work. They got to show up at work. They got to get up. They got to go to their meetings. They got to go to treatment. So it is very demanding. But in the end, if they're successful, they're going to develop a lot of life skills and coping skills that are going to make them be able to stay out of trouble in the future. So it's a very intense program. So it's not surprising that you have people that can't cut it, can't get out of it. But again, you have we have four in it. You know, three are doing pretty well, and you have one now that wasn't successful.
The individual who was removed, if I remember what Dan was saying, because I was covering court actually for something else, and this came up, and it became fascinating to me as I was sitting in there covering the case, that the decision to remove the individual from the drug court was, I believe in Dan's words, nearly unanimous. Now, for the, what is there, five or six people that are a part of the drug court?
Right. Yeah, there's a drug court team, and I think there's six or seven people involved in that.
I mean, to have that sort of overwhelming input that, listen, this person just, based on their actions, doesn't deserve this chance that we're giving them anymore. I mean, that's pretty convincing that this person wasn't really taking the program seriously.
Right. And, you know, some of the things when they meet in drug court and they come in and they talk to the judge and they meet with the team, they got to do that once a week on Thursdays. They come in and the first thing they announce is, how many days have you been sober? And this individual that failed out, he was never able to give us very many days. I mean, I think the maximum time that he's been in there for 4 months that he hadn't used was just a couple days that he was clean. And that's really a problem for the program. You're giving them the opportunity, you give them the tools, but ultimately it's going to fall back on that individual. Is that individual going to work and do that? We can provide you with treatment and tools and programming and urine tests, and we have a supervisor out there that's consciously watching you, that if you need something, you can call this individual. If you're in a situation you shouldn't be in, you can call this individual. They'll come get you, basically without consequence. But ultimately, it all comes down to that individual. If that person has to want it too. And, you know, I think the drug court people gave it 100%. They gave him everything that they could have given him, and he just couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. He didn't. It appeared that he wasn't really trying to do it, and that was the his failure. His downfall was that.
Was the failure brought up with the other participants in the program? You know, as to obviously the end result was 5 years in prison. I mean, can that be a motivating tool that the drug court goes back and says to the individuals that are going in it, listen, if any of you thought this was going to be a cakewalk, this is what can happen to you if you fail out?
No, absolutely. And on Thursdays when they come in, it's the group of them. So it's everybody in the drug court. So they hear what the other individuals are doing, how they're doing, how many days they've been sober, their struggles that they've been facing. They hear all that. They hear if they're recommended to be failed out of the drug court, they hear that too. They listen. They see what the decision is. And ultimately, they saw that this individual go to the pen. They've been told that if you don't successfully do this, you're likely going to go to the penitentiary. Now they've seen it. So I think it's a motivating factor for the others to say, you know, look, you know, even when this gets really hard, really tough, you know, the alternative is even worse. I'm going to the penitentiary. I'm being taken out of the community, taken away from my family and friends, taken away from my job, and I'm going to the penitentiary. You know, maybe it's not that hard to tell the person, hey, I don't want to do that, or walk away, or call your supervisor and say, hey, can you come pick me up? I'm in a bad situation here. I need to not pick up that thing to drink. I need to not pick up that thing to smoke, not use this drug here. You know, when they're faced with that, and they are faced with that every day when they're out in the community, and they have to overcome that, and this is just another motivating factor for them to do that.
Do you know, did any of them have any reaction to the individual's failure? Like, wow, this is hitting home. This is,
well,
you're right on that edge.
I think that them being in the program approximately the same amount of time and coming to the Thursdays where everybody's involved and everybody knows what the other people are doing, and hearing that individual say, you know, how many days they've been sober, and it kept being zero or zero. And so I think they saw the writing on the wall that this person wasn't where they were at, wasn't as progressing like they were progressing. So I think they saw that coming, It was just a matter of time, probably what they were thinking. And while the team's thinking, let's keep working with this individual and see if we can get them over that hump and see if we can start accumulating those sober days. And if you can't, then this is what happens.
You're listening to the Mike Moore Show. It is the November 2015 edition of the program. We're going to take a break and return with more. You're listening to the Mike Moore Show on Dakota Country 1210.
KOKK.